The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Hello, welcome everyone to The Distraction here on Fightful.com. It is Thursday. I am Jeremy Lambert, joined, as always, by the dressed down Joe Holbert. No popped collar today, Joe, just back in black.
We're talking about wrestling, right? So I didn't want to, you know, feels like the wrong time to be dressing up for professional wrestling broadcast. But yeah, we are here. We are going to talk about wrestling, I'm told, Jeremy. So I'm very excited, as you can tell here by my opening statement. You know what, actually, I will say, just in case anyone thinks this is going to be overly negative, after Monday, I think me and you expected this to be a much harder show than it will prove to be. I thought last night kind of allowed us a little bit more leeway as far as what we talk about here. Because on Monday, Jeremy, I think we both hit a wall. Is that fair to say?
I had a mental breakdown in your mentions or in your DMs on Monday to where, real quick, I'm going to plug everything. Use the hashtag distraction on Twitter, trending worldwide, number one right now. Join the conversation. Fightful.com, all your wrestling needs. Fightful Select, sign up, get exclusive news, extra audio. We got an interview with Dana Brooke up right now. So check that out. Yes, Monday Raw, it was the longest show of all time. And I was messaging you topics for what we could talk about on Thursday because a couple of things were fresh in my mind. And like right as I'm messaging you topics, I think it was the tag team match where Ricochet and Alexander had lost. And this is actually going to be a topic today. But they had lost. I'm just like, do tag teams even matter? And then it was like some Rey Mysterio promo, some Aleister Black promo, the Charlotte stuff. And I'm just like, this show is going to kill me. And so, yeah, I just had a mental breakdown in your DMs that night.
Yeah, at that time, I feared for this program. I must say, I did. I didn't know where we were headed, but we have some topics. We have a format here that I think we're going to be able to follow, right, I think. And I think by the end of this, Jeremy, we will discuss one worthwhile topic at least in the world of professional wrestling. Now, look, that may not sound like, but it's an improvement on what we've done in the last month of wrestling shows. So here we go. Another bold encounter that we're on here.
AEW and NXT were fortunately good, at least not terrible, like Raw. So it did lift the spirits a little bit after last night.
Yeah, the troops were down on Monday. The troops were down, hit the wall. I was lucky because I watched with the power of the fast forward button, which helped me a lot. I always feel for you doing the actual watching the program live. Don't know how guys do that. If you do it, just absolute love to you. You're braver than me, but that, you know, that is what it is, right? It's your decision, Jeremy. I mean, it's kind of forced on you. I'm not gonna lie, but it is nonetheless your decision.
It's not even like watching live. It's watching and like trying to keep up. Like AEW had a ton of stuff last night. Like I think I did stories on all the stuff that was, you know, that they booked for next week. They booked like 3 Double or Nothing matches, the Moxley Brody stuff, Jake Roberts and his snake was a thing I had to write about, Matt Hardy's in-ring debut was something. Like I did like 5 stories from the AEW show last night. And so it's like not even just watching the show live, it's watching it and writing the stories and just trying to keep up with everything. But I'd much rather just be busier like that than Raw, where it's like, when is the show going to end? Nothing on this show matters.
I'm pretty sure you just said that your main issue with Raw is that you actually have to watch the show. And I absolutely, I love that as a critique. I must say, I really do like that a lot.
That's pretty much where it's at. Like, I'm fine. Like, I don't mind working. I think if anybody listens to this podcast or knows, like, I would, like, I work during these shows most of the time anyway. Like, I have so much stuff that's just left over and whatnot that, hey, I know I got to be in the office for 3 hours during Raw. I'm going to do my leftover stuff and try to get work done. Like, working is not an issue. Yes, actually watching these shows is not fun most of the time.
Wow, what an indictment that really is, right? You'd rather be just working through your quotes than staring up at the screen and watching Shane Thorne beat up Cedric Alexander. I love it. Right.
Thursday, we talk wrestling. Tuesday, we review movies starring wrestlers. This past week, we reviewed Stuber, starring award-winning actor. I don't think he's won any awards, but should be award-winning actor, Batista. Next week, we're going to review No Holds Barred, starring Hulk Hogan. That was a pick by Joseph. Saturday, we have part three of our WWE TEW series draft. It is the big one with the picks beyond and high-level trade negotiations. Our part three Saturday for the TEW series. Next week will be the beginning of our playthrough on TEW. We're going to get that recorded here shortly and have that for everybody next week. But Thursdays is our wrestling day. This is when we actually have to talk about the stuff we watch and not the actual fun stuff. Do it. I'm making everyone want to tune into this show right now. Oh, geez, these guys are going to talk wrestling. This sounds exciting.
Yeah, this is definitely our highlight of the week. You can tell by just how high energy we are. We're really motivated to discuss this. But in fairness, we do have some stuff, right? This week, we have some stuff. You will see this now in the coming minutes. And I have some hot takes, I think. And if I don't, I'm going to invent them like I did with the Batista one.
We put 5 minutes on the clock. We always go over time. Sometimes we stay on topic. Most of the time we don't. Let's get to it, Joseph. We're going to start with the, I don't know if it's the biggest story of the week, but it was a big story, and it's kind of an all-encompassing thing. The Revival were released last month. They did their big Talk is Jericho interview, which is where everyone goes after they get released by WWE. They immediately hit up Chris Jericho and be like, let's get this on the schedule, buddy. I know it's part of the deal. I think it's in, like, the WWE release contract that, like, you have to do this. I think Jericho and WWE actually work together on this. But they did their Talk as Jericho interview, said a lot of things that I think a lot of people already knew on their unhappiness with. They want the tag team division pushed, how much they were offered, the comedy gimmick, where I'm sure people saw the leaked photos. They talked about that. Joseph, what did you make of the interview and really their comments on where tag team wrestling is in WWE?
Well, first things first, Jeremy, if WWE was involved, it would be an interview that takes place on Corey Graves' podcast, because that is where no punches are pulled and they talk about the real, you know, the real professional wrestling industry. I want to make that clear to begin with. I mean, we've discussed this topic in itself as just a tag team wrestling deal for a while, right? Like, this was not a surprise to any, like, anyone that's probably listened to this show knows that I didn't get anything new from this. They are correct. The tag division is meaningless, and if you don't believe me, then just look at SmackDown last week as the consensus greatest team in the history of the promotion lost a match to the Forgotten Sons. I haven't got a problem with the Forgotten Sons. That's not my point here. What I'm saying is the world champ doesn't lose matches to the call-up like 3 weeks into their run. That just doesn't happen, but the tag team is viewed.
Drew McIntyre didn't lose to Austin Theory.
No, he didn't. No, and this is the deal, right? Is people have seen it for this way for so long, they don't understand what our criticism is. What I'm saying is the tag titles are framed as a mid-card achievement. It doesn't have to be that way. And when it is that way, and you have teams as great as New Day and Usos, and how great they had to be to get a spotlight on their feud. You know, we can't forget here, they had a rivalry underway, and they were placed on the SummerSlam pre-show. Right, that's a real thing that happened, folks, okay? If they're in that position, the Revival needs a certain things to get over. And when I say over, I mean over with the general WWE fan. Now, their best traits are, if you give them a long tag team match, they're probably the best in the world at that. They are incredible at it. The details, the layers they put in it. I see, I use layers there unironically, Jeremy. Did you see that? That was impressive. They're tremendous, but fit-wise, it never worked because they were never going to get those matches. They got 12-minute matches in the middle. They were always trying to make them do kind of entertainment stuff, ha-ha, silliness. And this is where you end up. So I wasn't surprised at all with what they said. I agree with all their criticisms, but at the same time, it's just like, we have such an amount of evidence for this that I can't be surprised in any way that it didn't work out. I'm just, as a fan, looking forward to what they do next. Because I think there's a lot of opportunities out there to do good stuff. But, I mean, as far as their issues here, like, it was exactly what I expected. I can't lie.
The timing of their criticisms couldn't have worked out more perfectly. No. Because we had Miz and Morrison win the tag titles at the Saudi show, and like their first defense, I think they lost to the Usos. It wasn't a title defense. It was a non-title match. Yes. Like their first match as a tag team, being the champions, like they just lost to the Usos. And then sure, they won, Elimination Chamber, but then the New Day, their first tag team match as the champion, non-title match, they just lose to the Forgotten Sons. On Raw, you got Ricochet and Cedric. It's like, all right, maybe, you know, hot new tag team. They can do some cool stuff. It seems like they're just getting thrown. Brandon Vink and Shane Thorne, and Vink and Thorne just win. And it's like Ricochet and Cedric are 3-3 as a tag team. Any hopes of them being anything, you've just 50-50'd them already, and it's not going anywhere. And like, this is what the tag team division is. This is what it is. And then you had the Street Profits. They lose a non-title match to the Viking Raiders. And okay, you can say the story is like, oh man, they can't beat the Viking Raiders. That's not the story they're telling. The story they're telling is that all these teams are equal and anybody can win at any time. And like that, sure, that's fine. That doesn't get anybody over though. Imagine if everybody in the NFL was just 500. No one would care. No one cares that the Bulls make the playoffs as an eighth seed in this year. The Bulls aren't making any playoffs. They're terrible. The Magic might make the playoffs if basketball is still around as an eighth seed as like a 500 record. No one's going to be like, oh man, this Orlando Magic team, let me tell you, Aaron Gordon, Evan Fournier, they're going to cause some real damage. No, they're going to just get bounced out in the first round. No one cares. Like the tag team division is the Orlando Magic of WWE. Everyone is just 50-50 and no one cares.
Yeah, I mean, that's one way of putting it. I didn't expect the Aaron Gordon tangent you went on, but I appreciate it.
Aaron Gordon just caught a stray here on this podcast. Yes, and I don't actually mind Aaron Gordon, but look, he's on a mediocre team and he's a mediocre player, all things considered.
Okay, I'm going to leave you there with that one. I'm not going to continue. There's a whole other road I go down. I'm going to go back to the wrestling side of the street and carry on walking, okay? Yes, no, you're correct. The best way to explain it is when Andrade gets pinned in a multi-man tag, you're not surprised. When he gets pinned in a non-title match, you're not surprised because he's a mid-card champ and they have just nailed that into your head. He is a champion that is not very important. Okay, remember that, folks. That's the level the tag titles are on. They are not on the level with Becky, Drew, whoever else, you know, the top, the male and female champ. So, yeah, you know, but I was trying to think of the SmackDown. And, you know, the memory sometimes with the SmackDown stuff is not so strong. Braun Strowman, yes. That's the way it is, and it's frustrating for me as someone that loves tag team wrestling. As someone that's seen what these guys can do with a 25-minute slot against the Great Babyface team, very frustrating. But I feel like before long, when everything gets back to normal, so you know, whenever that is, I hope that we're going to have a different conversation about this team, because I think the conversation will be about, okay, where do they rank again in the top teams in the world? Because I think very highly of them. This hasn't soured me on them at all. It's just not every place is for everyone. Everyone fits differently, different spots. So I'm hoping they find somewhere that fits them. WWE was just not it. Very simple.
No, with them, I thought the interview, it was what I expected. It was very similar to the Brody Lee interview where he said, like, he aired his grievances, you know, they gave facts, but it wasn't bitter or anything. He didn't, like, the Dash and Dawson weren't, like, out here, you know, putting people on blast and being like, well, Vince just is out of touch, doesn't get it, whatever. They just very clearly said, like, you know, we wanted to do this, he wanted to do this. That's his decision. It's his company. I didn't think they were bitter or anything like that. They did say that, like, they're going to weigh their options. They mentioned Impact, ROH, New Japan, AEW. I think we all expect them to end up at AEW at some point. Obviously, now, who knows where anybody's going to end up. I do think they want to go on that, like, tag team run of,
yeah,
hey, let's go to New Japan and do the tag league. Let's go to Impact and do some stuff. Let's go to art. Like, I think they want to work with a lot of different people, and then they'll eventually settle into AEW. But I'm with you. I think they want to go out there, remind people we're really, really good at this tag team wrestling stuff, and then go get their stock up even more, and then go to AEW.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I mean, obviously, again, we're both assuming that, like, other shows are up and running in kind of... if things work out as they can, I actually think they're going to make people wait for the Bucks still. Like, I'm with you totally. I think they're going to do, like, a tour. I think you'll see a Briscoes match. You'll see them work the North, right, in Impact.
Yeah.
New Japan Tag League makes a lot of sense. Yeah, that's a... the New Japan fit is very interesting to me because I don't... it isn't a natural one that I can immediately kind of see what that would look like, if that makes sense. They're very traditional, like, American wrestling tag team. But that would be interesting, definitely, because their tag division could do with a spark too, right? They could do some help. So, yeah, a Guerrillas of Destiny Revolt match is a very strange mesh and mix, but I guess Tanahashi and Ibushi would probably be a little bit easier. But, yeah, no, I think you're going to see them pretty much everywhere until they settle in AEW.
Tanahashi and Ibushi against them... yeah, be amazing.
Especially if it was in a US show as well, I think it would be probably better. But yeah, either way, like, it's a, that one's a more natural fit.
Yeah. I mean, they mentioned Guerrillas of Destiny. They mentioned the North. They mentioned the Briscoes. Like, all these teams, they said, like, yeah, we want to work these teams. Yeah. And obviously the Bucks as well. So I think we're going to, you know, whenever things return to normal, we're probably going to get that essentially revival redemption tour of, hey, we're still great at this tag team wrestling stuff, and we're going to prove it. Not doing 8-minute matches against Heavy Machinery. No knock on Heavy Machinery. It's really the 8-minute match part.
Yeah, I also think, now that just as you was listening off there, I wouldn't be surprised to see them stop off at the Power Studios, just because I think they want to be in that environment for like one set of tapings. That would not surprise me at all either.
And who they're working at Power? You know, we're at Lattimore, well, very... and...
I sense that they have a relationship with the Dawsons, right? So I don't know if they'll just do that purely just for the sake of their own enjoyment. I have no clue. I don't know. I mean, Storm and Eli is actually a fun team. It's just, they, NWA almost exists in its own little universe, so it's very hard to do these kind of like cross-promotion deals. I mean, Ring of Honor's trying. It is tough. NWA exists in a weird spot. But yeah, I don't know. They'll figure something out, I hope.
Yeah, Dawson's is a good call. And Storm, yep. And I completely forgot about Storm and Drake, just because NWA hasn't really been at the forefront in recent memory, so that's my fault. Let's move on to, let's actually go with AEW and Brody Lee, a man I just mentioned. Brody Lee, he's going to be challenging for the AEW world title at Double or Nothing against Jon Moxley. Joseph, we've been, I think, iffy on Brody Lee with this whole gimmick, but what do you make of Brody getting this title shot against Moxley?
It's weird. I remember when we were talking about like opponents for Moxley at this show before everything happened, when we were assuming it was a Vegas show. And I remember saying, you know, depending on what you want to do to Dark Order, he could be the guy. I am not going to overdo this or like kind of dramatize it, but I think there's an element of concern here because I sense that this wasn't the initial idea to put him this high up this quick. And it makes me wonder if they're just going to, like, Moxley's going to win this match and they'll do something different with Brody. Because I honestly, maybe I'm way off. And I very well could be with their audience. Like, they may see something totally different. But I just don't know how much you can get out of this Dark Order thing. I really don't. So, to me, it's a chance to, if I came in at this current moment, was given what they've got here, this is the chance to get out of it and have Moxley win the match, and then Brody kills every single member that wears one of those masks and becomes Brody Lee. That's me. They may be looking at this as the chance to like coronate the big heel faction, and in that case, I have no clue. To me, it's a little bit alarming that they're going this match now, because I think it may sense, it may suggest an adjustment of some kind, but I mean, it's fine. It's two known guys. Moxley's like one of their absolute top guys, so it's a fine pay-per-view main event. This pay-per-view is capped just by default, right, because of circumstances. There's only so big this can be. So it's a fine choice. It makes sense to me.
Yeah, I would imagine this wasn't the original plan. I know it's been reported that MJF was the original plan, which makes a lot of sense. MJF was coming off the Cody feud and was really hot following Revolution. Brody, there's two ways of looking at it for me. Like, if you pay attention to the rankings and you actually believe AEW sticks with that kind of stuff, apparently you do not pay attention to the rankings at all, Joseph. But look, they put them out there every single Wednesday. Like, it's a real thing, and they mention them on commentary and stuff. And then guys are just moving to the top five by beating nobodies and then attacking the champion. Like, that's how Hager got his shot. That's how Brody Lee's getting his shot. This is how you get a title shot in AEW. Just beat a bunch of enhancement talent attack the champion, get a title shot. Like, that's how this works. I understand the circumstances have probably caused them to reverse course here. Brody Lee, it does feel too soon just because I was sour on the gimmick when it seemed like it was just a Vince McMahon kind of spoof, and that's not what I expected, and I don't even think it was that good on top of that. And, you know, now he's just getting this title match. It just feels like Moxley's going to win, it's going to move on, but then where do you go with this Dark Order stuff? Like you said, it's, all right, is he still going to be the leader? Like, then what's his end game? Is it still the title? Can, you know, if you're the Dark Order, are you looking at this guy like, all right, well, he just failed. Like, what good of a leader is he?
Yeah, I mean, the issue is, like, I don't want to go on a limb and be like, okay, this is the end of the Dark Order, because I think, based on the initial critical response, it would have ended a long, long time ago. I think it's pretty obvious that the powers that be, so to speak, are high on it, right? I don't think that's a hot take, though. It seems like they like it a lot. But I'm with you. Like, we assume they're not putting the belt on Brody here, and then from that point, it's where do you go from there? Because now you've got to go back down. I'm not sure. I guess my thing is, I was thinking about it from the perspective of, like, how big, even if they'd have nailed Brody Lee and they'd done exactly what me and you wanted, how big is a match with him and Moxley? I don't know if it's ever going to be, like, a huge deal. So in that sense, as silly as it sounds, I guess I'm fine with just kind of throwing it out there on this show. Because I know it's not one of those things where, like, for example, you mentioned MJF. And let's just imagine MJF was at all the tapings. It would legitimately disappoint me to kind of to think that MJF's title shot, where the biggest badass in AEW, Moxley, gets to beat him up, would have no fans. Yeah. Like, just a few wrestlers. That sucks. I have none of those feelings for a Brody Lee-Moxley match. I'm fine with that taking place. It's not a deal like where I'm like, oh, that's a real missed opportunity. So from that point of view, they've managed to have two guys with some kind of marquee appeal, one a lot more than the other, of course, but they're not giving away something that I'm desperate to see in front of a hot crowd. So they've nailed it in that sense. I just don't know what it means for Brody in long term.
Is there a chance that they just put the title on Brody? Like, I mean, because I'm with you. This is not a match where I would be clamoring for, like, oh, this is a headline pay-per-view match, you know. But with this empty arena stuff, it's like, sure, give me this match. It's fine. I don't have an issue with it. But if this is a headline match that you, like, want me to go out and pay to see, buy a ticket for, probably not doing it off of this match. Yeah, Moxley and MJF, I'm paying to see that one. But do you think they put the title on Brody here as just a, we're doing these shows with no audience, we can do a bunch of vignettes with Brody? I think it's easier to have a heel champion with no audience, and especially someone with, like, Brody, to where it's not totally crowd reaction based. Like, if you put the title on MJF with no audience, probably doesn't work as well. You know, he's going to rub it into everybody in front of nobody. Like, Brody can just kind of get away with being Mr. Brody Lee in front of nobody.
Yeah, I'm with you. I feel like he's a mile away. I really do. And I'm very high on him as a talent. I don't know, man. This presentation to me is very prelim. I don't get any kind of, when I watch it, I don't get the feeling it's like a top heel faction at all. And I know that's what it's probably supposed to be, with the kind of, oh my God, they're taking over AEW. That's just not what I get from it at all. So to me, the reason you could put the belt on a Jericho or a Moxley is because they've been absolute, like, top guys in WWE, right? I mean, not for any fault of his own. Brody just wasn't that. I feel like you have to do a lot more rebuilding than a couple vignettes of him kind of stake up and shouting at people before you can go, okay, he's our top guy. Because that's what the belt was supposed to mean, in theory, right? And I think even if Moxley, because of circumstances, isn't there, like, you know, it's different the way things worked out. But you can definitely make the argument that Moxley is their top guy. Brody is just, to me, so far away from that, that you have to, I mean, you'd have to be very careful making that move.
I would be stunned if they did it. I would be very surprised. It's just, maybe that's what they're thinking during these times, because it's tough to actually have a long-term plan right now. Because, like, you don't want to burn these matches in front of nobody. It would feel like a missed opportunity to give away some of this stuff in front of nobody. And I think you could just potentially just do Brody Lee with no audience. You've got more top babyface challengers than you do top heel challengers. And I don't know if there's, like, a ton of, like, big Brody Lee matches out there. Like, if you just do Brody Lee against Kenny Omega as like a headline match, like I don't, and that's a good match. I don't think that's like a super marquee match that you want to really headline a strong pay-per-view with.
No, I'm with you. The more you're kind of selling it to me, I'm starting to, because you're right. Like the truth is, if Moxley just wins here, how many more heels can you use to delay the MJF match before we have any kind of semblance of normality? Like it could be a long time, right? And that's, I guess, the point of what you said about long-term wise, no one knows what's going to happen. So no, I'm with you. I just think it's such a bold move, right? I don't know. It's hard for me because I think I'm more critical on the Brody stuff than most people. It just feels super unnatural, is all I can say, for me anyway.
It does. It does. Yeah. But that's the direction they're going with Brody Lee. We'll talk more about Double or Nothing as the weeks close in on that pay-per-view. Let's move on to something else that happened on Wednesday night. The former Killer Cross, Karrion Kross, made his NXT debut. He killed a man, Leon Ruff. He was there with Scarlett. Super presentation. According to all the reports, they're very high on Killer Kross. Joseph, they have high hopes for him. This is a big news scoop that they have high hopes for this guy. What did you think of Kross's debut and the high hopes that WWE has placed upon him to carry the company for the foreseeable future?
Well, so you mean to tell me that they debuted a tall, muscular man with a blonde lady, and there was a report the next day that they had high hopes? Well, yes. I tell you, I am shaken to my boots, Jeremy, because when I saw the entrance, I was thinking they were introducing him to be kind of a job guy of some kind. So, shocked by this. I want to know your take on the entrance, okay? So, I've seen my timeline initially. I was not watching the show live, but I always am on my timeline, so I know the stuff not to watch. Just a quick secret there for anyone that does shows like this. And I'm going here, and people are getting excited, and everyone's saying, I'm not exaggerating here, there was a lot of takes saying this was the best entrance in wrestling. And I at that point, I become cautious, right? Because I'm thinking, there's no way this is actually going to be the best entrance in wrestling. I watched it, I was somewhere in the middle, and then I realized later there was a lot of takes on the other end, saying it was, you know, over the top, and cringe was the word being thrown around a lot. I want to know what you thought, Jeremy, because outside, the lip sync deal for me was a little bit...
That was...
It was a little much. Yeah.
That's where they lost me, is the lip sync deal. I saw people compare it to Tai Chi in New Japan, and I'm not like the Tai Chi's gimmick is fine. His actual work, I can take or leave. That's where they lost me though, was the lip sync stuff. I was just like, just do your entrance. It seems like a cool song. Looks scary, whatever. Do all that. I don't need you like lip syncing this song. That looked corny to me.
Yeah, and it also, I mean, here's the thing. I think Killer Kross is very good, and I totally get why people are looking at him and saying, as much as we mock the high hopes, I can totally see why people are looking at him and saying, he has an actual chance of being a guy on the main roster. I get that 100%. But I can't help but think that this entrance leans even more into the danger of it being a deal where, like, he's having matches on Raw and the crowd is chanting for Scarlett. And, like, we've seen this stuff happen before to very talented people. I mean, Rusev suffered from this for a while, right? And I just think I would be hesitant to emphasize her to that degree. And my camera has just disappeared, hasn't it?
Yes. Oh. Everyone sees the icon of Joseph now. There we go.
I should be back. Okay, so... see, I was like Killer Kross, and I was hidden for a moment, you see. And I worry, just purely for his sake, of like, she's emphasized so much in that entrance. And that's cool, I get it. It's a huge plus to that presentation, but man, it was like he's visual, as cool as it is. I just worry what impact it has to the general viewer. Like, who are they talking about once that segment ends? I guess is my point.
You make a good comparison with Rusev and Lana, because Rusev would be overshadowed early on by Lana.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw a similar comparison on just like the entrance level of Aleister Black. And like, everyone knows him for his entrance. What is it beyond that entrance that you can bring? And I just worry if like the entrance is just going to overshadow everything, and he's just going to almost be pigeonholed by this thing of there's no actual development of, all right, he has a cool entrance, that's all you need to know. Like Aleister Black, you listen to him talk about this gimmick, and it seems like there's a lot of ideas that are actually out there that you would never, none of this would come across on television. Like, none of it come, like, he talks about, oh, I'm entering from the black hole, and, you know, this is a supernatural character and stuff. I'm just like, you have a cool entrance where you're raised from a platform. That's all I know about your character. But everyone goes crazy because of your entrance. Like, I think Killer Cross could come into that area, and then you throw in Scarlet, and it's like, yeah, now you're just going to be overshadowed by Scarlet as well. And they've got high hopes for him, I'm sure. They're gonna do their best to make him a big deal. I like Killer Cross. I think he's a good worker. His facials are good. He obviously has the look and everything. He works well. I don't have high hopes for anybody in WWE. I'm just gonna say that. They can have high hopes for him. I don't have high hopes for anybody in WWE.
Look, what you said there is going to be a problem for a lot of people. There's going to be a lot of people that don't get any kind of depth from this character. I'm just going to be honest and upfront now in saying that, like, I'll take the cool entrance and leave it at that anytime. I don't need, you know, black hole entrances. I don't need any of this. Any of this background information for me it's just not for me. Some people, that isn't a problem for me, but I'm with you. I get what you're saying. And the Aleister Black comparison is one I've seen a lot. It's a real one. But my concern is I don't know how well that comparison bodes for Cross, right? Because Aleister Black is, obviously there's flaws there with how they present him and stuff, but I feel like he's a lot more natural as far as the way he carries himself than Cross does right now. Now, obviously, not fair comparison. He's been in WWE system and done his entrance 100 times. But I just, if that link is something that people keep dwelling on, I'm not sure how well it ends for Cross, I guess is my point.
Yeah, I'm not sure how well. Sure. Even if you have an echo there. Fix your issues, Joseph.
Working now?
Yeah, it's good. Even if I've completely lost my train of thought. Even if if Aleister Black is your ceiling, then I don't know. That doesn't seem to bode well at all. I don't think the hopes can be high for anybody. Like, what's best case scenario for Karrion Kross? He just goes to Raw or SmackDown. He cuts like similar promos to Aleister Black or whatever. Maybe he gets a title. I don't know the ceiling for any of these guys. Any of them, Joseph.
It's all a matter of opening. It's just, honestly, I don't want to oversimplify it, but it's literally a matter of him being around at the time and having momentum when they need a heel to work one of their top baby faces, and then getting over in that program to the degree where someone says, maybe put the belt on him. That's really what it comes down to. Like, guys that they are very high on are left just waiting for stuff to open up. That's just the way it is with how they produce TV, and, you know, for better or worse, a lot of times worse. But it's almost impossible to predict this stuff, right? Because this isn't a time where they're sitting there going, okay, SummerSlam 2022, we're going to have Cross ready by then. Like, it's not a thing that's happening, okay? Like, it'll work how it works out. His first step is just making his NXT stuff good. And it's very hard without an audience. I mean, this presentation would have got over so much better in front of the Full Sail crowd. I know people hate on Full Sail, but, like, their energy would have just made this so much better. It was still fine. If it's going to be like this for a long time, it's hard as it is, right? Without looking ahead to, I mean, whatever's going to happen to him on Raw or SmackDown at this point is the least of anyone's concerns, and rightly so.
Here's a question for you.
Okay.
Do you think elaborate, cool entrances like this, when was the last time something like this worked out?
Well, it depends what you put in. I mean, Ember Moon is someone that suffered from the same issue you're talking about with Aleister Black, right? Where it's like, oh, cool entrance, and then people want more. Who else is an example of a cool entrance? I have no idea. Who has cool entrances now?
Your guy, Bobby Roode. Like, the glorious thing. Everyone's like, yeah, great entrance. And then Shinsuke Nakamura, great entrance. Really, yeah, didn't go anywhere. Two,
like, this is the problem, okay? Roode worked out in a way I legitimately believe they wanted to work out to some extent. Now, they may not have got how to make it work. What I'm saying is, like, if Killer Cross wins a Royal Rumble, I think me and you should throw a party and be like, my God, what a success. That would be pretty impressive at this point. So, like, did Shinsuke fail, or did just the AJ matches not hit as we wanted them to? I don't know. Like, the Bobby Roode one is another example in line with Ember and Aleister Black, where it's like, what's his character? That entrance, bro. I get you. I just, as someone that doesn't, I don't pay a ton of attention to that stuff anyway. The production is so great, and, like, I trust that they're going to make it look good and glossy. at some point, it's going to come down to how good they are at talking, how good they are in the ring. That is when I'll kind of come to my conclusion. You're right, though. The entrance alone does nothing as far as the grand scheme of things. It's just literally just having a cool intro. And it's, I know that sounds like a useless piece of information, but it's 100% all it is, because I've sat there in arenas and watched Shinsuke get this huge ovation as his music plays and he does his cool struts to the ring, and then the match starts and it's like, depending on what night it is, that's the end of the show at that point, right? So it will see how it pans out for him. I'm with you, though. I mean, that means us discussing this entrance for this long is pointless, because in truth, it will mean absolutely nothing, probably, for his career in general.
The Fiend, Finn Balor, all these cool entrances. Simple entrances are the way. Look at the top guy. You got Drew McIntyre, just comes out, walks to the ring, nothing elaborate. Braun Strowman just walks to the ring. Brock Lesnar, all these guys just walk to the ring. There's no over-the-top production for these guys. These are the top guys. The over-the-top production stuff.
Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything and you won't believe how simple it is.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
That's where it doesn't hit for some reason. I think I'm just making a bunch of generalizations now, but
yeah, I mean, because the problem is me and you may not see the clown as a top guy, but the Fiend is like an actual top guy. So no, therefore, all of this is just, I mean, to them, this is the issue, right? And I, you know, about plugging my stuff prematurely here, Jeremy, I come to this conclusion while looking back at the Money in the Bank, and I was going through it in detail. It's like, the truth is decisions are made very early on about where they want these guys to end up. And for the most part, the rest of this is just icing, you know, like it's all just reasons to not push or push someone. Like, this entrance is great, and if Killer Cross goes through and cuts a bad promo, it takes one guy turning around and being like, nope, not feeling it. That entrance is then rendered useless. So the Fiend, we don't get it, but to them, like, that entrance is a big deal, I guess. People in the crowd love it. So I don't know. My only takeaway genuinely is that I don't know if I can watch the lip sync every week. I think we should save the lip sync for takeovers or core events, whatever. This every week may be a bit much. That's my only real takeaway.
I'm with you. I think they should just save it for takeover. It'll be like or just Demon Finn Balor. It. You never know when you're gonna get it, but when that lip sync hits, unbeatable. Killer Cross is unbeatable on lip sync days, and then people are wondering, well, why don't they lip sync every single time? It's like, nope, you gotta save it for those special occasions. That's the only time you can do it.
I was really thinking that, and when you brought up the Demon the first time, I was thinking, I don't even know if that was. Like, I guess it was a failure, but I was just, was it always doomed to fail? I mean, that's a different show for a different day, but the hilarity of it was just like, as soon as it came up, it was like, why is he not wearing a Backlash, guys? Like, it was always going to happen, right? That was the thing with that.
I was being facetious with these entrance comments and people failing and whatnot. Another person with just a straightforward entrance, though, Becky Lynch, biggest star in wrestling. She was on the show Billions this past Sunday, and now there's a lot of talk of her, you know, transitioning to Hollywood. She reportedly has, she's going to appear in an upcoming Marvel film. She's apparently talking to The Rock and John Cena. They've been giving her advice. Joseph, we're going to lose Becky Lynch to Hollywood here shortly.
Keep killing it, BL. Keep killing it. Changing the game, BL. Keep killing it. No, I watched the scene, Jeremy, on your recommendation. You said it was layered. You said I'd like it very much.
I didn't say any of this.
True. But this segment should be renamed, Can Joe Avoid Getting Nasty DMs This Evening As He Discusses Becky Lynch As An Actress? I've never seen the show, so I'm not going to comment on the scene. It was not... It was not a glowing starting point. I'll put it that way. But I did appreciate the explanation of doing the job. I did like that very much. I just want to say congratulations to Charlotte Flair on another 25 title reigns. Timing is everything in this industry. As I just said to you a minute ago, Jeremy, it's all about openings, okay? And when you're the queen and people are bowing down to the queen and your main nemesis decides she wants to be an actor... That's when things change, right? 10 title reigns, oh, that's cool. How about 40? That's my take from this.
The scene, I've never seen Billions either. This is the first time I've really watched the show, and I only watched this scene, so I don't know the context of it. I think my issue, besides the verbiage, like she's using inside the kayfabe shit, bro. That's a line she said. She said, let me give you the real kayfabe shit, bro.
Put them over. Yeah. Put them over. That's what we call it in the business.
The thing I found funny is, like, Becky's trying to, she plays herself. So she's trying to, like, get into the offices or whatever. And, like, no one realizes who she is. People are just like, who's this crazy redheaded woman sitting out here screaming stuff? Oh God, now she's fighting our boss. Like, what is going on with this stuff? And then she's like, it's me, Becky Lynch from WWE Superstar. And it's like, man, people don't watch the product apparently. So.
But they're very excited about it though at that point. Like when they know it's her and she speaks like 10 seconds, they're all like, yeah, Becky's great. So she got over with them, if nothing else, right?
Maybe they'll actually tune in and see that she is this superstar and be like, oh yeah, she was in my office beating up my boss and whatnot. Yeah. I thought Becky, like, I didn't think she was bad in this scene. I don't think it had anything to do with her. The dialogue was not good. The actual scripting and her role was not good. As far as her performance, I didn't think that was bad. I think the issue here is... like, if Becky goes to Hollywood, you're right. Charlotte is just, she already runs the division. It's gonna get worse if Becky is gone. And this is what I think Vince has tried to push and avoid for years because he's lost Cena, he's lost The Rock to Hollywood, and he's like, this can't happen anymore. But now, like, Becky might be on that same path.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm certainly not qualified to analyze her chances in the field. I must say I'm not, but sure, man, good for her. I root for anyone that can get out and make a lot of money. Good on them, right? I, you know, for division's sake, like, it's a hit, but, like, let's be honest, at this point it's all just a big wheel. They just turn around, they'll put someone else in, right? They'll put Sonya Deville in, and we'll get excited about it on Twitter. And it's just the way it is. It keeps spinning. As for her performance, I have no comment. I'm just very kind of delighted by the thought of, like, so I don't know who makes this show. I assume they're a big wrestling fan who wrote this. Like, they were like, man, I am going to impress her so much with my insider talk.
Well, this is...
she's going to get here and be like, where did you wrestle? World class? You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be electric. I respect that part.
That's how the appearance came about, is the show writer, producer, whatever he is, I'm sorry. He was doing a panel and he's wearing a Becky Lynch shirt, and Becky took notice of it, of like, hey, cool shirt, bro. And then they just started talking, and the guy who was a big wrestling fan was like, I gotta get you on the show. And so, like, yeah, he wrote this part. So he is a wrestling fan, the person who wrote this part. Yes. And it obviously showed, because we got the real kayfabe shit, bro.
Yeah, he put her over. He put her over. He made billions do the job by putting over. But I have a question for you. And this is a genuine question, up front, sincere. I'm just asking it open here. Don't get mad at me, folks. Get mad at Jeremy when he answers. Is Becky Lynch famous in the United States of America?
No. Oh. I don't think I really don't think anyone in wrestling is famous. At least today's wrestling is famous in the United States. Like, who is? And this is not a knock on Becky Lynch. Like, she might be the most famous, but she's not famous.
I just wonder because, like, traditionally when people make the transition, I sense they have better, like, standing as far as stature in the kind of sports entertainment world. But maybe
was Batista famous when he made that transition?
I feel like wrestling was just more popular then. I mean, I don't know. I could be wrong.
Wrestling certainly was, but I don't know if Batista was like this. Like, he wasn't a Rock and Cena level of fame when it comes to wrestling when all of this happened. He just happened to get a couple of minor roles, and then he landed the role in Marvel, and he was off from there. I mean, Becky, it could be a similar situation. She's gotten now a minor role. She apparently is going to have some type of role in a Marvel movie, and if, you know, Hollywood, they're always looking for something different, and you've got a woman who carries herself like the man. You've got the accent as well. You know, people love the Irish accent. Conor McGregor, big star. So I don't see why she couldn't be successful in Hollywood.
No, you're right. You're right. It's a good point. The thing with Batista is he's such a large human. He really is impressive.
Andre
visually.
The Giant and when, big.
Yeah, and when you combine them, but that is so, I mean, half of the audience is like, what are they talking about? But anyway.
Watch the product, folks.
True. When you combine it with the fact that because of his wrestling past, like, he has genuine kind of charisma and he's good at, like, whatever improv is at this point, it helps him. Becky obviously has natural charisma and personality. I have no clue how to gauge how popular these people are now, you know, but good for her, man. I'm rooting for her. I'm looking forward to Charlotte versus Rhea in 10 years, you know, where she can finally get one up on the queen. Bow down, Jeremy. Bow down.
Guitar riff. Money in the bank. Money in the Bank is on Sunday. Matches are going to be held at the Performance Center outside of the actual Money in the Bank match. We'll get to the Money in the Bank match here in a second. But as far as the rest of the card goes, Joseph, anything on this card that you're dying of anticipation for?
No. Okay. No, absolutely nothing. I have, you know, kind of a sinister intrigue in Tamina doing a title match. I have nothing against Tamina. I'm always fascinated as to what you get out of that scenario. I have no clue. It might be good, maybe, doubt it, but we'll see. I'm interested in, and I mentioned this to you before, Jeremy, I was not going to send you that. I was not going to make you give me a question and just totally fumble the answer. I am interested in what the Bray Wyatt program means for Braun's title reign. Because, I mean, you explained to me that it is not The Fiend, it is Bray Wyatt. That makes sense. That means Braun can keep the belt. But if this program continues as they usually do, you know, 1 month after the other, I don't think Braun is going to beat The Fiend. So then that means, you know, that then goes to the conversation of, like, I just think The Fiend, to me, the Goldberg thing was just a way of doing the Goldberg Roman match. I think they want to actually protect The Fiend until someone beats it. Like, I don't know if it's Roman at this point, because apparently he's been erased, I've been told online. But I just, yeah, I don't think he will. So then the question to me becomes, like, is this, what does this do to Braun if he's finally gets his title reign and it's just like an actual 2 month temporary deal where he just drops it back to the clown? That's what I want to know.
I think Braun can beat The Fiend because Goldberg beat The Fiend and Braun beat Goldberg, and by MMA math, then Braun should beat Bray Wyatt. There's an old reference for people who are online years ago when MMA math was a thing. Yeah, it's Bray Wyatt. I would assume Braun is going to win on Sunday, and that's why they had it be Bray Wyatt and not The Fiend. I think that I'm with you. I think they're going to end up just putting the title back on The Fiend, try to just do the Roman program whenever they can, and go from there. Like, Braun was always felt like a transitional thing because he clearly wasn't the, like, he didn't even have a WrestleMania match until Roman got erased and they decided they needed somebody for that spot, and Braun was their best option. This this WWE champion, Universal Champion Braun Strowman thing, it's not good either. And I realize, again, circumstances. Oh, smiling, happy-go-lucky Braun. Oh, Alexa, you got me a gift. Ha ha ha. It sucks. It's not good at all. And like, I'm not a fan of The Fiend. I will take that character over what I'm getting with Braun Strowman right now.
See, I've done a whole feature basically gonna plug my stuff again, Jeremy. I'm just gonna promote myself now on the show. I'm gonna give you topics only that promote my articles, okay? Just so you know in future. So my articles, I am on the opposite side. I feel like at this time, with no people in the buildings, like I feel like they've got to just try with Braun. Just one last try to actually see if he can do this champ deal, because for the longest time I've heard like he's an attraction, he's not a champ. You know, you can't build around him. And I agree with it. My brain tells me that's the truth. But why not actually see now? Because I've seen The Fiend as champ, and to me, it's like, it's not an easy sell in itself. I just feel like there's no rush here, but now that you've started the Wyatt feud, if you want to protect him, I guess there is a rush, because you have to get back on him. But I don't know. I mean, I'm with you about, like, Braun, they still haven't figured out how to present him. I like the idea of, like, using the Alexa character is like he's one kind of like weak point. Like she's the person that can calm him down. I think that gives you some fun stuff to do. People probably wouldn't like it nowadays, like if you used her as like a like his weak point. And I'm with that. I totally understand why. But what I'm saying is, just as a character, I don't want him friendly to everyone, but it would be neat if he had like that one character you could use to get show a different side of him. Him being goofy and smiling all the time is probably not the best route. But I guess most of his segments, he's been kind of doing weird, like, dialogue with Bray, right? Or Alexa. So it's too early to judge for me. That's why I'm interested to see if they allow him a chance, give him enough rope almost here, you know? Like, see if he does fail. I'd like to find out.
But does this prove if he passes or fails anything? Like, it's so tough to judge. It's the same thing with Drew. Like, and Drew's going to face Rollins on Sunday. We both envision that Drew's probably going to win. We think it should be a relatively short match. We don't want to see Drew, especially with the way he's been booked since winning even before winning the title, since really the Royal Rumble. We don't think Drew sitting in a headlock for 5 minutes and getting these heat spots is a good way to continue this run here in his first big major title defense. But, you know, what my original point is, can you judge anything as pass-fail right now?
No, I'm with you. You can't. But I want to see. So, for example, you know Drew's been having these Raw main events, and it's like we both know why they're short, and that's fine. But I want to see if Braun is versatile enough to do, like, the opening promo, closing match deal. Like, is he actually capable of doing it? Because he did it with Shinsuke, which really was just like, it was a nothing, right? The Shinsuke match is very short. Like, I don't think Braun's incapable of having good matches at all. I just want to know what he's like as, like, the centerpiece. Now, again, you're right. It isn't the best gauge. There's no one in the audience, right? It's not ideal. I'm getting that. But what I'm saying is, in some ways, that helps because it means he can't foul and get booed when he's being a big babyface goof. If that makes any sense to you. Like, it's the time to experiment, right? We've got people climbing up the corporate ladder this weekend. So I would just give him different opponents to see how versatile he is as far as getting the most out of guys. Because SmackDown isn't loaded. But like, here's an example. So they're doing the Sheamus Jeff deal, right? Like, wouldn't it have been fun to just see what he did with Sheamus for a month? Like, Sheamus is very, very capable. He's a veteran. He's done it. I would just like to see it. I don't know. I feel like taking it off him immediately is just like, he's an attraction. He's not a champ. It's, you know, did we ever get a chance to even find that out? Like, he's not as hot as he used to be. But man, I feel like unexpected opportunity here. Try to do something with it, I guess is my take.
Your point on Alexa, and like, I think you've layered it more than they ever will, It would be nice if like that was his weak point. Like, this is just a strong man who can destroy anything. Like, all right, he beats Bray Wyatt, but then the Fiend gets Alexa. I know there's the theories of Alexa being Sister Abigail and all
no. I'm telling you, honestly, this is honest truth. I promise this now. If that is a thing that happens for more than like a segment, this show is finished. Okay, I will not continue. I will not watch professional wrestling if one of my favorite professional wrestlers becomes the ally to the clown. It will not happen. I'll tell you, I will not do it. Okay, but I'm aware you was not saying it. I know that, Jeremy. I'm just making it clear to the audience here. We are not doing that. Please continue.
My point was just like, all right, you use Alexa to get to Braun and like weaken Braun. Yeah. And I think you can do something like that. I don't know if they actually will. Cause like you did set it up in that, you know, that seems to be his weak point. That's happy go lucky Braun. And so you can play off of that. Will they do it? I don't know. Probably not.
Yeah, and the thing is, because of the way that the Bray character works, where there's no parameters, and he's apparently a magician sometimes, like you can do something where she's actually not affected in any way. He doesn't have to kidnap her. He can make Braun think that he's done something to her, right, kind of deal, right? And he sends him on a wild goose chase. The issue is, it would have worked better if, you know, when Braun kept saying, like, he can't get in my head because I know his tricks and all that. It would have worked better if he never actually got in his head. But every time Braun says that, Bray does something. Like, the mask deal was tremendous in that sense, right? Like, he sat there and he was like, nothing's bothering me. I've seen it all. And he sees his old mask and he's like, oh, my God, I can't fathom what's happening here. So, yeah, I don't know. It's just an idea. But it just seems like a fun little element to it. Braun is a weird one for me. I'm not a super big, like, Braun guy or fan. I remember how hot he was at one time. And I still think there's an element to him that's like, there's something there. There's something there that's bigger than just, oh, the guy that does the comedy spots at Mania. If we'll ever see it, I have no idea, but I do believe it for some reason.
We also have the Money in the Bank matches at Money in the Bank. Climbing the corporate ladder is the tagline for this. They're going to be taking place at WWE HQ, which should be interesting. They're going to be taking place at the same time as well. The men's and women's Money in the Bank match. For the men's side, we have Daniel Bryan, Rey Mysterio, Aleister Black, King Corbin, Otis, and AJ Styles. The women's side is Dana Brooke, Asuka, Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler, Lacey Evans, and Carmella. Joseph, who do you have winning these matches, and what do you make of... I think we've discussed them holding it in the corporate offices before, mm-hmm. but now it's going to be at the same time. So what do you make of this overall thing, and then who do you have winning?
I'm totally fine with the same time deal. I think it makes sense because I think it's going to be, ready, Jeremy? Cinematic. I think it's going to be cinematic. So I think it makes sense not to do the same film twice on one pay-per-view. Make it one super film, right? It's like an Avengers movie.
Yeah, there you go.
So I'm fine with that. I'm going to be honest. I have produced a lengthy article about this match, Jeremy. Plug. And I have not once considered who's going to win it. So you asked me that, and I was sitting here thinking, I don't know why I expected Jeremy to ask me, but for some reason I hadn't even considered who's going to win it. It comes down to a very simple thing, right? You can use the briefcase as a plot device to get the belt back on a top guy. You're looking at AJ, you're looking at Brian, you know, and on the female side, you're looking at Asuka, I guess she's former champ, right? Nia, former champ. And it would just be a way to get the belt on them and do another reign with them. That's the safe choice. They did it with Alexa a few years ago. They did it last year with Brock. Like, it's basically just a few months of TV time. It's really what it comes down to. That's safe, but it also doesn't help anyone too much. The question becomes, if you're going to take a risk, which one of these people do you look at and say, okay, I trust that this briefcase is just going to be their fast track to where they belong, which is the top. Aleister Black is the guy I like most for that. I don't want him holding the briefcase, though. I think it totally would... Like, him coming up in the, you know, the entrance and him standing with a green... I just think it wouldn't work for me. So then it comes awkward, right? So for me, on that side, I'm looking at an AJ or Brian. I'm going to say something that people will hate, and I totally understand why. I'm not saying I want Corbin to win the match. I'm not going to pretend there isn't some good TV to be done with, like, Corbin trying not to mess it up again. I'm just going to be honest. I think it could be some entertaining stuff there. Do I want him as world champ? No. So, therefore, that's a pointless idea. AJ and Brian is who I'm looking at the male side. The females is harder. I don't think they're going to run it back with Carmella. I think... I really think Nia is going to win this and cash in on Becky, and I must say it's my absolute least favourite scenario. So I don't even know who to go with there. I think Lacey gets too much stick, too much criticism, but I don't want her to win it either. So I don't know if you just go totally out of left field and like, Dana Brooke, here we go. Like, I have no clue what you do on that front.
Females, I'm very adamant that it's going to be Lacey Evans, and she is going to cash in after the Sasha and Bayley match, whether that takes place at SummerSlam or Survivor Series or SmackDown or WrestleMania or a live event. Whenever Sasha and Bayley finally takes place afterwards, Lacey Evans is cashing in. That's been my prediction for weeks. I'm not going to move off of that prediction. Nia Jax would be the other choice. Shayna would be a choice as well, because it seemed like they wanted to go there with her, and then they just mm-hmm. didn't. But the Shayna thing, I guess it would fit her character of blindsiding Becky Lynch, but it seems like Shayna, she doesn't need that. Like, she should be someone who just steps to Becky and is just like, yeah, I'm going to cash this in at this time. Give me my rematch. Let's do this type of thing. The men's side, I keep coming back to Corbin, and mainly because it's easy television, and they need as easy as television as they can get right now. You have Corbin out there every week with the briefcase. It's an easy thing with Braun. He's always taunting Braun, whatever. It's something simple to do. And, I mean, if nothing else, WWE is rather simple. So I'm going with Corbin and Lacey. Nia is a good pick on the women's side as well.
I guess I have to bring up Asuka. I've seen a lot of people saying Asuka, and
I don't know
the reason
why.
The reason I didn't mention her is not because I don't want that. If you ask me what I want, I guess that is my choice. I just don't. I mean, then again, like, there is an element when you watch the shows that they have kind of turned the corner on her, like, in the sense that they see her differently to where they did before. I'm not saying higher or lower, I'm just saying differently. Like, they do very different things to her than they initially did as a heel. So I just don't know where they'd fit her reign in. Like, I don't think she's going to be the one that beats Becky, so then it becomes, when does it happen, right? The Shayna deal is, if she's going to be the one that takes Becky's belt, man, they should have done that at Mania. That was where it had its most impact. Like, holding it off to do a briefcase cash-in doesn't work. Nia, you could do the cash-in for Heat. I'd rather you not. I'm coming back to Lacey here. I don't know, man. It's tough. So who's the first? So Carmella, Dana, and Lacey are the SmackDown three, correct?
Yeah.
Is there any legs in doing the Carmella deal and having her turn heel? I'm honestly asking this question.
I mean, Carmella's a great heel. I don't know how much, but Bayley's a heel. Sasha's a heel.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't know how much you're going to get out of that if you turn Carmella heel off of that. So, no, I mean, I think if a SmackDown, well, they're all baby faces now. So on the SmackDown side in this match, and that's why it seems like, all right, you just have, if someone on SmackDown is going to win it, you cash in, you ruin whatever that moment might be. And I think Lacey's the easiest choice because she has the built-in feud with Sasha and Bayley. That's why Nia is an easy pick for, because she is a heel. She has the feud with Becky. She could easily just cash in, do it type of thing. Now, I think Carmella and Dana are the two least likely for me. I don't see it. And Asuka is there as well. Like, I'm with you. That's pretty much, that's best case scenario for me because I like Asuka.
Yeah.
They don't see her on that having the briefcase and stuff. At least I don't think they do.
The issue with the Lacey thing is, and I totally agree with you, I think you're right, but I feel like it just would kill her. I mean, I think she's already struggling with, like, just the general audience perception of her.
They don't
and I think
see
a
that,
lot
though.
Of it. I know, I'm aware, but what I'm saying is, like, sometimes with these things, it'll be bubbling for a long time, and then it'll just go full tilt. So, like, for example, people online were whining about Charlotte years ago, but when they did the deal where she won the belt rather than Becky, all of a sudden it became the arena. So, does that make sense? Like, the arenas haven't been terribly mean to Lacey's babyface, and obviously there are none right now. I'm aware of that. But what I'm saying is, imagine a world in which we're in an arena at the end of the year, and I know that feels a big imagination, I know right now. Just imagine it. You're doing Bayley and Sasha, and Lacey Evans cashes in. Like, I don't see how she leaves the ring as a babyface.
Oh, she
and
doesn't.
I know in their minds, they're thinking, like, they were mean to Lacey.
Yes.
But I don't know. The women's match is tough. Yeah, I'm not sure. I think it is going to be Nia for the Becky deal, and they'll do like a short Nia reign until Becky gets it back. I just really hate when they break up a long title reign with a cash-in title change. I know it's Heat, and you know there's no one in the building. So who are we getting Heat from here? Like, to me, keep Becky champ until you find someone you're confident can stand in them shoes. Because Nia Jax isn't going to be that long-term, regardless of how high or low you are on her. She's never going to be what Becky is to the division. She can be a feud for Becky. She doesn't need the briefcase for that. So, yeah, I think you're probably right with Lacey. But it's too confusing for me. I'm just going to guess simple, Nia. And on the men's side, I'm going to separate them, Jeremy. I'm going to say AJ Styles, I believe.
It's 100% that they will look at the Lacey thing. You do the big Sasha and Bayley, whatnot. I don't even know who's the heel and who's the babyface in that feud once it breaks up. Like, are they just both heels when they finally have the match? Like, I have no idea. Yeah. But they do that match, and then, like, let's say, for instance, let's say things are normal. There is a crowd. They do this in Boston. Sasha wins. We'll say Sasha's the heel. But they would view it as Lacey comes out. She gets her big moment, big title reign. She overcomes the bullies. You know, everyone, she thought this was Sasha's moment. No, this is her moment. Now she's the biggest babyface in the world. And, I mean, she would have gotten booed out of the building, but that wouldn't be the story they would be trying to tell. They would think that this is her overcoming the bullies.
Just one quick thing. Let's not do another one-night cash-in deal. Like, if you're going to do the briefcase, just do the briefcase and have someone hold the thing. Get some TV out of it. Like, don't just rush it again.
Can they do that, though? Because this is theoretically in Stamford, and the other matches are at the Performance Center. So do you start with a match? I actually do want them to do the one-night cash-in now, because let's say Corbin wins the briefcase at, like, match three. Braun and Bray go on last for some reason. Forget it. They go on fourth, and then Corbin cashes in. So he flew himself from Stamford to the Performance Center during that, and then cashed in that same night. So I do want a one-night cash-in.
Okay, that would rule. Now I'm thinking about it, though. I feel like I read somewhere, and it makes sense. I don't think this needed to be a scoop, but, like, there's some talk that the match is going to be, like, throughout the show. Is there not? Like, they're going to kind of splice it. So I think the show will end. Oh, okay. I think the idea was that there was talk anyway that, like, it would start at the headquarters, and then Tom Phillips was like, anyway, welcome back to these empty arena wrestling matches. We'll head back in a while. Like, I think it's going to be a full motion picture, is what I'm saying, Jeremy. I think it's going to go coast to coast here in terms of cinematic matches. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. That would be awesome, though. That would be tremendous. If then we get afterwards a video package showing them flying across the country, that would be amazing.
I don't want this thing to run throughout the show. I think that would be terrible. Just give me the match. Let it be. Like, I don't need this. You're going to do picture in picture while we're watching Tamina and Bayley. We're also going to have picture in picture with the Money in the Bank match. I don't need all that. Just let the match air as it's going to air, not this throughout the show nonsense. All right, so you're officially going with Nia and AJ.
AJ. Yeah.
I'm going with Lacey and King Corbin.
Well, I mean, your options there are, like, you're not even feigning any kind of optimism. Like, I used AJ as my shield, you know, because I don't know who's going to tweet this stuff. So I used AJ as, like, hey, guys, Nia might be this, but you got AJ. You're just going full out Corbin and Lacey. Come at me, bro. I like it. I respect that attitude very much so.
The thing with AJ is I think he's going into the title program regardless, because who else are they feuding with Drew right now?
That is one where I'm legit, like, even though AJ's not where he was, that bums me out if that takes place, inevitably does take place in front of no fans, because I think that could actually be tremendous. But, yeah, I'm with you. That's the issue with a lot of these, right? The ones that are over in these matches don't need the briefcase to be in the title programs. So then you're left looking at the underneath people, and you're like, man, I'm not sure you can take that risk with them. So the one thing about Money in the Bank, and it is flawed, definitely, as an idea and just the way they execute it most of the time, it is interesting every year to be like, which way are they going to do this year? Are they going to go safe, or are they going to do something terrible that will definitely backfire on them when they actually cash the big in? So this year could be peak of that, I think. When Dana Brooke cashes it in, we will have a discussion to be made there.
You know what? I'm fine with Dana Brooke winning and cashing in. I do something different. Don't give me Lacey and King Corbin or Nia. Like, give me something different.
None of this stuff matters right now, right? Like, just do it. Sure, make us laugh. Do what you want.
Whatever.
Tamina wins the title, Dana cashes in. Do it.
Have that big Tamina and Dana Brooke match for SummerSlam instead of Bayley and Sasha. My God, could you imagine if they did Dana and Tamina instead of Bayley and Sasha? It wouldn't matter. I don't know why people would be upset. Like, I'd much rather see Dana and Tamina wrestle on these empty arena shows than Bayley and Sasha. Save that stuff for when it does matter.
Well, apparently Bayley has like a year plan to drag this thing out to next WrestleMania. So in that case, maybe she's already booked this in. Maybe Tamina and Dana are going to carry us through to the fall. And then they can take it back over and continue their layers that they've already been building, right? Maybe that's the idea. She seems to have the pencil now, is what I've been told. So good luck to them. That was my hot take. Bailey has the pencil.
Ah, poor Bruce. Bruce just got ousted. Money in the Bank is on Sunday. We will have live coverage of Fightful. Sean will be doing the post-show podcast as well. Joseph, anything else before we wrap things up? Plug the feature. You've plugged everything else during this show as I've thrown topics at you. This show is just nothing but a vehicle to plug yourself. So when does the feature drop?
I have absolutely no idea, Jeremy. I'm not that high up. I'm not an executive in that way. But you are right. Apparently, I have plugged some things. So, you know what? It is what it is, guys. I write like 3 things a year now. So just allow me to plug them on the week of which they come out. Very stressful times. Very stressful articles. Braun Strowman article, Money in the Bank article about the concept as a whole. In totality, Jeremy, I go back to the start. I trace it through. Lots of horrific time editing. Please don't even read it. I don't want you to read it. Click it, close it, reply it's good. That's what I'm asking for this time, folks. Bring it to me whenever the thing drops. I have no idea when that is, and that's all I'm asking for.
Do I get an executive producer's credit on that article? Because I did give thoughts and opinions on it.
You do not, but I will give you some of the money. If anyone offers me money for an exclusive look, I will give you a cut.
All right.
And I'm not going to disclose what that cut is, but there will be a cut.
I don't know how much an executive producer actually does, but everybody just wants that title on like movies. Like The Rock is the executive producer of like a million different things, and I don't know how much input he actually has. So
I want to just says keep killing it with the initials, and they go executive producer. That's all that happens.
Keep killing it, JH. Fightful.com, all your wrestling MMA is back this week. If you're excited to watch people punch each other in the face in front of no one, MMA is back this week. We will have coverage of that wrestling as always. Follow Joe on Twitter at JoeHolbert5. You can follow me on Twitter at JeremyLamberts88. TEW Series Part 3 draft this weekend. The actual start of the booking where we have the pencils begins next week. Distraction Reviews every Tuesday. We will be back next Thursday to talk more fantastic wrestling. We'll have Money in the Bank talk. We'll have something will happen, Joe. Something will happen on these shows, I'm sure. We'll talk about it. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We will talk to you on Saturday.